It's time to take a journey, to find your courage, break through your limits, and master your destiny. It's time for Ken D. Foster's Voices of Courage. Ken brings you some of the most courageous people on the planet that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. It's time to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It's time for Voices of Courage. And here's your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you got to join us today. Today is an amazing day to really take your life to a new level. And with that in mind, let me ask you a question. What separates people that thrive from people that don't? You know what? It's very simple. And yet, most people miss it. People that thrive have trained their mind to do what they want. In other words, they've changed their beliefs inside of them, their selves, and what they focus on so that they start to generate what they want in their life. You've heard me say this before on the show. The mind is the cause of our bondage and the mind is the cause of our liberation. So today we're talking about how to use the mind to thrive. Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and guess what? The show is called today, The Courage to Thrive. So thriving, how do we change beliefs? We think it's a very difficult thing. The truth is, it's all an inside job. It all starts with the mind and it ends with the mind. You know, a couple years ago, well, it wasn't that couple years, it's about 20 years ago, I wrote a book and I didn't know what I was going to call it at the time, but I knew what I wanted in it. And so the content started to form, and the content was around this. I wanted to create a system that people could inventory what was going on in their minds and be able to release it instantly. Well, that book came out. It's called Release, Renew, Evolve. And that book, so many people have used it now. They tell me it's like wearing a dark pair of sunglasses. They take those sunglasses off, and all of a sudden they can see things clearly. Why? Because they've made choice. You see, they've figured out, you know, and I figured out this, and hopefully you're figuring out this, right? That we are not our thoughts. We are not this mind. We are not this body. We are an awareness in a consciousness, the observer of the mind, the body, the soul. We are the observer. When you get that concept, you can start to understand how to release things very quickly. So with this exercise in this book, you're inventorying your things that happened to you, right? Your harms, your hurts, your shame, your guilt, your remorse, anything that feels stuck emotionally in your body, you're inventorying it and you're making a choice to release it. How cool would that be before the end of the year to be able to do that? Well, I'm hoping you said that would be really amazing, because what happens when we release the old beliefs, the old ways of showing up? We start to become more aware. And we start to bring consciousness into every decision. Now, why is that important? Well, if you want to make better choices, there's really one way to do it fast. And that is, you have to tune into your inner wisdom. All of us have it. We call it by a bunch of different names, but we have wisdom within us, right? And I call it your inner genius. So you got to learn how to tap into that inner genius if you want to thrive in your world. See, most people, they have a gut feeling when something's not right or something's wrong, going to maybe the way they want it to. They have a gut feeling, oh, this is the way I need to go. Well, that's undeveloped intuition. You have a feeling, but when you start to develop it and you tune in, what happens is you increase your energy field. You increase who you are. You increase your vibration, your energy, your passion, your purpose. It all starts to increase and you start to feel amazing. And what happens as a result of that is the thoughts that are crossing your mind, they start to change. They start to be powerful. Let me give you an exercise to how to do this really quick. Think about, let's ask one question right now. If I was courageous, what are the three most important steps I'd take today? If you were courageous, what are the three most important steps you take today? Now, just by asking that question and be with that for a moment, what is that? When you start to tune into that, all of a sudden you start to get the answers, right? you will start to feel empowered. You will start to expand your courage. By the way, courage is a feeling. We can feel it. We can express it. It comes through us. It's not about running into burning buildings. It's about increasing your energy. It's about being able to speak from a place of truth, from your heart, from your passion, your purpose, okay? So why am I telling you all this to start a show off? Well, these are the principles to thrive. And also, I want to let you know that I do have my new book out. It just got released last week. It's called The Courage to Change Everything. Actually, we're still in pre-release. The books just came in last week. And I give you that book for a reason. It helps you to daily drip astute wisdom from the East and cutting-edge wealth principles from the West on your mind every single day so that you start to focus on the thoughts and the actions that will change your life so that you can thrive permanently. If you'd like to find out more about it, you can go to CourageToChange.us. That's CourageToChange.us. All righty. Sitting in the wings patiently is my guest for today, one of my guests. His name is Peter Montoya, and Peter and I go back maybe 20 years, you know, and for over those two decades, Peter was in the financial industry, the go-to guy on marketing and branding. Now he's the CEO of Thrive Union. It's an organization whose mission is to fulfill a need in modern society, helping people to go from meaningless isolation to purposeful belonging. You know, through Peter's struggle, through school with undiagnosed ADHD, he was admitted to graduate school to University of California, Irvine in political science. Post-college, he became a traveling speaker. He spoke at, I believe, over 3,000 talks out there, you know, in 22 major cities. But despite this aggressive schedule, Peter, you know, he was hyper-independent, hyper-vigilant, but he became lonely and kind of desperate and surrounded himself by, you know, he's trying to surround himself by people all the time so he wouldn't feel that. But this experience led him to what he's doing today, and that is running Thrive Union and teaching people how to tune in to their own inner self, release anything that's blocking their success, and become fulfilled and a place of with no loneliness. Is that right, Peter? Did I get that right, man?
You sure did, Ken. Thank you so much.
God, it's so good to see you and have you on the show. I feel like my brother just came from a long lost.
I know.
Here you are, right?
I feel the same way too. I feel so guilty. I haven't kept better in touch all these years.
No kidding. Well, you know, we're all out growing and doing our thing and you know, working on our minds. You know, my mind was a lot different and yours was too. I remember that. We were enthusiastic. We were doing a whole bunch of different things to get our businesses off the ground at the time. And, you know, but I think, you know, I know for me, I can speak for me, and then I want to ask you, from that point when I was there, you know, it was a lot about performance for me and how I was performing, but I never really felt inside at that time that I was enough or I had enough. There's a lot of fear going on, and fear was driving a lot of my decision. I don't know about you, but that was me.
Oh, yeah.
How were you? Yeah.
So I started my entrepreneurial career at 28, and I was basically flat broke for the first 14 of those 20 years. So everything I was doing, every minute of every hour was about how to optimize my time to either make more money or push my business forward. And I was always just one step ahead of every bill that came due. So that was the life of an entrepreneur when you're basically trying to forge a new business that no one else has ever created before.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Well, I can relate to that because I definitely was on that same path trajectory with you. And what shifted for you? What happened?
Oh, you mean the business transformed?
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to dive into Thrive Union. So I want to kind of jump into that. Like, you know, you had a shift that all of a sudden went from this business guy and creating wealth and, you know, doing it that way, but, you know, living hand to mouth with what you just said, to something different. What was that shift?
you know, I kind of what you were alluding to earlier, you know, I was all about performance and all about, you know, trying to leverage every opportunity to help me advance my career or advance my business. And my major focus now when I'm with somebody is actually just being with them. Very different mentality from time is money to people are my ultimate value.
Wait a second. It says, okay, listen, I got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to dive into that and just being with people. Can you generate money and success by just being with people? I'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, your host today with our show is called The Courage to Thrive. I'm in studio with my guest, Peter Montoya. And Peter has an organization called Thrive Union. We're going to be talking about a little deeper in a moment. But Peter was just telling me that before we went to break that he was in a place now he just likes to be with people, be in relationship with people. And I was asking him, can you make any money doing that?
Yes, you certainly can. And, you know, I think most people would say what the things that gets them most excited is having human connection. It's one of the things that we're actually built for as human beings is to be in a relationship. And not being in relationship literally causes death. Loneliness and isolation will lead to an early death.
You know, I have people that have come my way. I've had clients come in and they've been very lonely. They no matter what, you know, they seem to do, there's this underlying piece of loneliness inside of them. How are you changing that? Or maybe we take a deep dive. What is that? What is the cause of that? And then how does Thrive Union help with that?
Great question. So let me back it up a little bit. So out of Harvard, they've been running the longest study on longevity for over 80 years. Started back in like 1934. They had some 300 or 400 sophomores who were 20 or so years old. Half of them were from Harvard, half of them from the south side of Boston. So a lot of them were working kids, and a lot of them were more upper-class kids who had could afford education at Harvard. And over the next 80 years, they basically studied everything they possibly could about these young men. Look at educational background, economic background, their jobs they went into. A lot of them went off to World War II and died. They became bricklayers and lawyers. They had cancer. They got married. Their lives went all sorts of different directions. And after 80 years, they wanted to say, what is the number one determinant of living a longer, happier life with better brain activity, what is the number one criteria? I'll give you a big hint. It's not money. It's not education. It's not your job. What's the number one criteria?
I have no idea. Lack of stress would be my guess.
It's quality of relationships. Quality relationships is the number one determinant for living a longer, happier life.
Wow.
It is. It's amazing.
Can I tell you something that I found out 2 years ago? I was interviewing a lady who had a homeless shelter down in San Diego. And I asked her, what's the number one reason that people are homeless? You know what she said?
What's that?
They've lost all the relationships.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
They've lost all their relationships. They have no relationship with their family, with their church, with friends, with the community. They've completely lost it. They're trying to do life alone.
That's absolutely correct. So you know, 200 years ago, as a human being, you didn't have to look for community. All you had to do was open the door of your house, your hut, or your cabin, and you were surrounded by people. And the reason was, is to be isolated, to not have a tribe 200 years ago was guaranteed death. You wouldn't have had the means to make enough food or build your own shelter or to take care of medical needs. You needed other people. And what we've done in our modern society is we've basically traded community for convenience. Now we have a phone on our in our hands at any point in time. We can push some buttons and basically anything we want is there for us, we think. Whether it be a car or food or medical care or whatever our entertainment might need might be, there it is instantly in our phones.
Right.
And it makes us feel like we're busy. But the truth is, it's not satisfying the needs that make us happy and healthy.
What are those needs? Because there are a lot of people running around 90 miles an hour trying to find something and connect with something. What is that, do you think?
Well, you know, I look at our society, and if you want to say, you know, what is the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate morality for people in our society? And I would say it's personal enrichment. So the average American's dream, if you say, hey, you know, what's your dream? What do you want? They would say, I want enough money. I don't have to work. I want my own house, my own castle, either, you know, kind of secluded in a street somewhere or preferably up in the mountain somewhere. So basically, people are going to be wealthy and lonely, and this is the ultimate prescription for an early death. So loneliness has been proven is worse than 15 cigarettes a day. It's worse than alcohol. It's worse than obesity. It is absolutely horrible for us. And what we've been doing for the last 100 years because of the prosperity doctrine is our goal is to be wealthy and alone. This is the exact opposite of what we need to be living happy, healthy, flourishing lives. What we need to be doing is being
well. That's really interesting, Peter. Let's think. Yeah, healthy and alone. That is the goal. Yeah, I want to do it my way. I want to have the house on the hill. I want to have the cars in the driveway. I want to have the money in the bank. And I want to, you know, if I feel like connecting with somebody, I will. If not, I won't. And I get it. Yeah. A lot of people living that way, by the way.
Exactly. You know, I want to go up to Idaho or Denver or wherever it is and be isolated and be completely alone. I don't want to have to deal with people. And yeah, I understand it. I have my relationships too, and people get on my nerves and I get grated and I get irritated. But the truth is, you cannot develop your character, you know, the values that are worthwhile, honesty and responsibility and integrity, living alone. You have to be in relationship to develop yourself. Because if you're living alone, all you basically do is satisfy your own desires. No one tells you what you're doing is wrong or not healthy or antisocial. It only comes from a relationship with other human beings that we can really develop ourselves.
How does the organization Thrive Union help people to change their mindset, change maybe even their way of their values of how, you know, because here's the thing. Here's what we're really talking about. We're talking about results. Listen, if you're listening to this and you're in a place where you don't feel fulfilled, you don't feel satisfied, you don't feel like, and we're talking deep down inside because you can look good, but at the, you know, on the surface, but underneath, you know, let's get real. If that's where you are, I want to know like how an organization like Thrive Union can help someone like that.
Great question. So first of all, we've got an amazing value set, which is completely and totally open. One of our most important values is radical belonging. So everyone is welcome in our group. We don't ask people that they sign a blood oath or even have the same belief system. And when you come into our meetings on a Sunday, we have two-hour meetings every Sunday morning. I am so incredibly proud of how diverse our audience is. We have people as young as their 20s and people literally in their 80s and every decade in between. We live here, we're here in Orange County, and Orange County is very well accused for being all white Caucasian. And our audience is incredibly multicultural. Every ethnicity you can imagine, every religious background you can imagine, every political background you can possibly imagine. And we have built a thriving community based on radical belonging. So that's one thing, is we don't have any kind of litmus test for joining our group, which makes it so incredibly welcoming. And the second one, we basically help people break the hard habit of being alone. I mean, people's isolation is it's easiest thing to do is stay home on your technology and be isolated. That is the easiest thing to do. And we share enough stories, give enough evidence that they understand the value of being in complex relationships on a regular basis.
That's great. Well, Peter, listen, I got to take a break. By the way, how do they get a hold of Find a Thrive Union? Where would you send them?
The easiest place is thriveunion.org, thriveunion.org.
Okay, great. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you, Peter, a little bit about what's driving us to isolation. So we'll be right back, and stay tuned.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
If you're an author, speaker, or organization committed to changing the world, and you need a partner to support you with PR, your website, or social media, Wasabi Publicity is the perfect fit. Wasabi Publicity works with companies and individuals committed to doing good in the world. Everything they do is instilled with passion, impact, and brilliance. Go to wasabipublicity.com. That's wasabipublicity.com to schedule a call with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber.
The most talented athletes in the world rely on a coach to get better. And the most successful business people do the same.
I have found working with Ken D. Foster to be an extraordinary experience. He helped me to expand my vision, increase profits, and showed me the way to have more fulfillment and success in my life.
Ken D. Foster is the coach's coach for business and life. He has been nicknamed the coach of the successful and wealthy.
Ken is an instrumental part of my team and the success I have generated over the past 12 months. Ken gave me the strategies to increase productivity, reduce turnover, and take my business to the next level.
So what's holding you back? Ken D. Foster is a master business coach with proven strategies to dramatically increase efficiency and productivity while maximizing individual development and fulfillment. Explore your possibilities. For a free consultation, log on to kendfoster.com. That's kendfoster.com. kendfoster.com.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, hello and welcome again. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. And before I get to my guest, I want to mention one thing. There is a group of authors and speakers and trainers and internet marketers that have come together to teach you, if you are an author or a speaker, to teach you how to get your message in the world. And by the way, they're doing it for free. I'm part of this. These are my friends. These are people that have helped me along the way. And what we want to do is invite you in to listen to some of the amazing stars of this program. I have a woman by the name of Marcy Shymoff, who's sold 16 million plus books. I have a fellow by the name of Robert Allen, who has been New York Times bestseller mega times. I have a lady by the name of Nancy Erickson coming in. Nancy teaches new authors how to get going, how to write their books, what to do, what strategies to do. Listen, no cost to you. This is my gift to you because you're listening to this show. So all you have to do is go to thecouragetochange.us/invite. Again, thecouragetochange.us/invite. And if you go there, actually, you know what? It's courage2change.us. Don't put the in there. courage2change.us/invite. I hope you go there and check it out. Also, one last quick shout out. There's an organization here in San Diego called Women's Wisdom, Women Empowering Women in Business and Friendship. They're the premier networking organization for women in the San Diego area. and they bring in the top speakers in the world to help women business owners grow their businesses and, like I said, grow their lives. I hope you check them out. They're also online at womenswisdom.net, womenswisdom.net. All righty. Well, for two decades, Peter was in the financial industry. My guest today, and Peter Montoya, is now the CEO of Thrive Union, an organization dedicated to helping people get rid of loneliness in their lives. And we were just talking about, or I wanted to talk to you about, what are the things that drive us to isolation, Peter?
Oh, that's a great question. So our modern societies are really set up in a way that promotes isolation. So here are the three major forces that are driving us apart. The first one started with the car. And as you know, we built our cities based around the car. So rather than living in highly dense little communities in the center of town, about 50 years ago, we built this massive transportation system so we could live one place, work one place, and live 25 miles away. And when you're in that car, which I really consider to be a mobile isolation chamber, we are contained with some of the worst feelings of our day. It's highly stressful. Almost everyone either has been a jerk behind the wheel or is always a jerk behind the wheel. It's really a toxic feeling. And when we get out of the car, we're usually not happy. I love my car, but I know that I don't have the best feeling in the world. The second thing is our houses. Our houses are really built for isolation, where they're usually kind of walled off in the front, these garage doors, which are big flat panels and curtains across the windows. And, you know, it used to be a welcoming event to have someone ringing your doorbell. And now it's kind of like, you know, barricade ourselves. Who's ringing the doorbell? You know, we're knocking on a neighbor's door. And we're saying, I'm sorry for bothering you. We don't have front porches anymore. And all of our entertainment areas are in the back of the house. And the third thing, which is absolutely eroding our connection, is our technology. We're so incredibly attached to our devices. We think that we're being satisfied when really we were not. So technology is at its best when it's facilitating real world face-to-face connection. And it's at its worst was keeping us disconnected from the person sitting right next to us.
So Peter, these are structures that are kind of in place in society. And of course, you know, homes can be isolation cages, houses, our cars can, and of course, technology, of course, there's benefits on the other side, but, how do we fight this isolation? What do we do? What can the individual do to change it for themselves? You know, they may have to get in their car to drive to work, right? Well, I guess one thing they can do is listen to Thrive Union, but
like that.
How do we fight it?
That's a great question. So first of all, I think that most people have never actually chosen what is the top of their moral compass. And I think most people by default have chosen personal enrichment. That is what I would say most Americans are geared toward is personal enrichment. I think at the top of everyone's moral compass should be human well-being. And as soon as you choose human well-being, both your own and people around you, it changes the course of all the decisions that you make during the course of the day. Rather than just saying, I want to make more money so I can live alone somewhere, it's I want to be in a relationship. I want to help other people be fulfilled. I want to do altruistic activities.
Well, I like that. And when I think of human well-being, I'm thinking of it in relationship, and I'm also thinking about it with the body, with the mind. I'm reconnecting to my voice even, right? I'm having a relationship with my voice. I'm having a relationship with you. I'm having a relationship with my wife, you know? So I agree with that. What do you think? I mean, how do we do this then? You set your intention.
Yeah. So that's kind of the top of it. You got to kind of recalibrate, or most people haven't done it intentionally. No one has ever really thought what their moral code is based upon. And my moral code is maximizing human well-being, myself and everyone else who I can come in contact. And once you determine that is it, you can determine your practices more or less to enforce that. So unfortunately here in Southern California, I know you're in San Diego, and being in community requires a date, time, and destination. So it's no longer you can just open your door and have community all around you. Some people have that kind of neighborhood. I don't, unfortunately. So you got to find a community, whether it be a church or a meetup or something like Thrive Union, mm-hmm. to intentionally be in community.
But you know what's interesting, because I know that, especially when people have gotten in the habit of isolating themselves, it's like, you know, it's the easiest thing they can do and the toughest thing they can do to go out and connect with another human being, right?
I see people all the time coming to my Thrive Union meetings, and I can tell when they're suffering from isolation sickness. They know that they've got to get out of the house. Yeah. They know that they're in kind of a pit of despair and anxiety, And what happens with anxiety is anxiety begets more anxiety. And the more anxious you are, the less trusting you are of other people. And people come to our meetings and they kind of go, okay, is this a cult? No, we're just nice people who want to be around nice people and do good things. And they're so incredibly skeptical of an organization that just wants to be good.
That's really good. So I think the first step is to, if somebody's listening to this, you know, it all is an inside job. I mean, you got to change inside yourself. But I think the first step is becoming receptive to something new. And, you know, if you're open and receptive, that's a big piece of it. We become receptive. Then we said, okay, you know what? I'm going to drive my life in a new way. I love your value, Peter, that you put out there about wellness. You know, and then from that point, then there's some other actions that take courage. It takes courage to go to that meeting, right? It takes courage to express your skepticism. But, you know, when they do, what happens in that meeting, right?
I always celebrate them. I love skepticism. I am a skeptic.
Right.
And I congratulate them and thank them for asking the question rather than just thinking it and not coming back. So I celebrate questions.
Right. That's good. I'm glad because I didn't know what you're going to say on that. But, you know, I know you and I know you create a safe environment for everybody to be in, no matter who you are, race, creed, color, what you've been told by others in the past about who you think you are. He will help you in that way. Peter, tell me again, because I'm running out of time here. Tell me again how people get a hold
either
of
ThriveUnion.org, or please visit our YouTube channel by going to YouTube and then searching for Thrive Union. We put out a new life school video every single week, which is a short 5-minute video animation that gives you a different soft skill to help make your life better. We put amazing content on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ThriveUnion.
That's awesome. Okay, so Peter, thank you so much for being here. I truly am so happy to reconnect with you. That is so awesome that we did this, and we're going to do this again and again.
Thanks so much, Ken.
I love it. Absolutely. And okay, so coming up on my show is my next guest, Dr. Dayton, and we're going to be talking a little bit about holidays and holiday stress. So he's going to add to this conversation.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Hi, this is Ken D. Foster here. Are you an author, a would-be author? If so, a few of my New York Times best-selling author friends, book marketing strategist, and I are going to be teaching you how to write, market, and launch your book to best-selling status at no cost to you. Yep, you heard it right. There's no fees for this at all. You're going to learn from the experts that I use, their formulas and simple steps to make your book a bestseller. To find out more about this, just go to couragetochange.us/invite. Again, couragetochange.us/invite.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, hello and welcome again. This is Ken D. Foster, your host. Welcome back to our show today. We're talking about the courage to thrive. But before I get to my next guest, I just want to mention this. There are so many of you around the world that are listening to us right now. In fact, we're in 160 countries right now. So if you're new to the show, I want to let you know that you can get all of the replays of the show at voicesofcourage.us. That's voicesofcourage.us. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast, all you have to do is tell Alexa, Cortana, or Siri play Voices of Courage podcast, and it will come right up for you. So I hope you'll check that out again, Voices of Courage podcast. Okay, I am so blessed to have on my show today Dr. Tien Adayton, and she is a senior fellow at the Meadows, a recovery center. She has an MBA in educational psychology and a PhD in clinical psychology and is a board-certified trainer in psychodrama. She has authored 15 books. Welcome to our show. I'm so happy you are here. May I call you Tien?
Please call me Tien, Ken. Thank you for
Thank you so much, Tien. And you've accomplished a lot in your life. I was reading your bio and I was like, no, I'm not going to do all that. You are the winner of Lifetime Achievement Awards, Scholar Awards, President's Awards, Mansell Awards, on and on it goes. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. You've accomplished a lot. But I think the main thing is you're an expertise is in human nature and helping people to become all they're meant to be. Would I be right about saying that?
Perfect.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What brought you into the recovery area, the recovery field? How did that start?
I grew up with alcoholism. My father was an alcoholic, and I was lucky that my mother clued into Al-Anon when I was young. So I became conversant with that language and that thinking, even though I didn't go straight into the program regularly. But when I always say if you grow up with childhood trauma, what re-triggers it later is relationships. You grow up with relationship family trauma, and it can kind of be dormant. But then when you partner and parent, which I did in my late 20s, it comes back up. And by my early 30s, I was ready to say maybe the problem's in me. And then I went full force into recovery with the notion that I wanted to spare my children as much of that repeating of dysfunction as possible. And I wanted to have my marriage with my husband also in ACOA work. So I went straight for it.
Well, you know, I what you just said here about you figured out that it wasn't about the other person, whether whatever their dysfunction was, it was about you. And that was the main thing. You were coming into the holidays right now. We're going to be going, a lot of us are going into family relationship, family meetings and, you know, celebrating Christmas and stuff. But with that comes sometimes stress, you know, sometimes our family pushes our buttons and we think it's about them. Can you address that a little bit? You know, how does that tie into maybe, you know, adverse childhood experiences and now it's showing up again?
Well, it ties in directly because, you know, the holidays are about gratitude, about taking stock, about appreciating what we have, and they also highlight what's missing. Mm-hmm. So when we get into a family situation and we are feeling that the season is imposing a sort of a sense of goodwill and appreciation on us, we can react against that. And when we have an uncomfortable feeling, we want to make it about somebody else. So we can get stuck there in the holiday season. You know.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit, because your specialty is addiction. And I know a lot of times that, you know, people overengage in the holidays and, you know, and we go, oh, that's fine. But sometimes it's over the top. And we know that there's something else going on and people need to maybe get some help. So is there a relationship between adverse childhood experiences and addiction?
Yes, direct. I mean, trauma, which is what happens with adverse childhood experiences, that constitutes a sort of relational trauma. There are clusters of problems that you can grow up with that are considered adverse childhood experiences. And when those aren't dealt with, you create a sort of a pool of inner pain. And when you don't know how to put that into words, share it, think about it, work with it, you may want to shut it down and quiet that pain. And drugs and alcohol work like a charm, not only to kill the pain, but to create a false sense of pleasure.
They do. But what I've been told is that whenever you started using drugs and addiction or drugs and alcohol to mask your emotional pain is about the age you are mentally or emotionally, let's say. Do you think that's a true statement?
I do. I do, because if you're not able to have emotional literacy. If you can't feel your feelings and put words on them, you can't think about your feelings and process them. If you're medicating your feelings, you're not feeling them. So that you don't grow up, you don't mature, because the way you mature is by understanding what's inside of you.
Well, I totally get that. And I'm just thinking about some of the family meetings that I know I've been involved in where there's a lot of food out there. And, you know, so I watch people that just keep eating and eating and eating and eating. And I always feel like some of them are eating their emotions what I get.
Feeding their feelings, right?
Feeding their feelings.
Feeling stress eating. The food is a very effective medicator too. You know, it releases dopamine in the system and it quiets emotions. It manages emotions. It creates a false sense of calm.
That's good. Listen, you have a new book out and I want to talk about that book. Tell me the title of it.
The Soulful Journey of Recovery.
I love that. And you know what? I've got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to tell people not only how to get the Soulful Journey of Recovery, but I want to dive deep into that book a little bit and why you wrote that. So we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about that.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love, then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
If you, your company, or organization is out to change the world, and you need a team that produces results to take your message to the next level, Wasabi Publicity is the perfect fit. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for its innovative business practices, Wasabi Publicity works with companies and individuals committed to doing good in the world. Whether it's creating an engaging website, building a passionate social media tribe, or connecting their clients with top media influencers like Good Morning America, The New York Times, and Oprah. Everything they do is instilled with passion, impact, and brilliance. If you're an author, speaker, or organization committed to changing the world, and you need a partner to support you with PR, your website, or social media, go to wasabipublicity.com. That's wasabipublicity.com to schedule a call with Wasabi CEO, Drew Gerber.
We're back with Voices of Courage. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
All righty. I want to get back to my show here. I am so blessed to have Dr. Tian Dayton with me. She is a fellow, a senior fellow at the Meadows, a recovery center. And we're talking about her new book. We're going to talk about her new book. Tian, why did you write the book?
Well, if you really have gain some level of mastery yourself over something that has been a lifetime struggle, you naturally, if you're a psychologist as I am, want to make it easy for other people. I want to spare other people years of pain and invite them to have years of building the life that they want. So I wrote this book.
That's good. And what do you think when somebody reads that book, what will happen for them? What is it that you hope will happen for them? Let's put it that way.
They're going to know what happened to them growing up with addiction or adverse childhood experiences. They're going to understand the effect it had on their mind and body. I'm not ignoring the family effect. I'm talking about the family, siblings, all of that. And they're going to also understand how to create a life to get out of it, what they need to do in order to heal this wound. And not just heal the wound and talk about it and live in it, but move past it and take responsibility for it and create the life that would allow them to thrive.
Well, you know, I think you're talking about here that life to thrive, you know, in other words, you know, a sobriety. It's really an emotional sobriety, a place where we live life with a sense of peace in our life without drama dictating every little step of the way. Is that accurate?
Precisely. I end the book with emotional sobriety. I always explain it that if you've been traumatized, your feelings go from 0 to 10 to 0 to 10 with no speed bumps in between. And people who've been traumatized tend to think of middle ground as a flat line. It's not. It's a wave. It's between 4, 5, and 6. And that's what we need to learn to live in, which means feeling our feelings, translating them into the words, being able to think about them, share them with another, listen to another, and create a kind of a holding environment so that we can live not only on the outside, but be alive on the inside.
Wow, I love that. What are some of the signs that people have had family trauma?
Their sudden angry outbursts is a sure sign.
Just mentioned, yeah.
Avoiding, if you avoid deep feeling, if you can't connect with people on a deep level, if you're hypervigilant, if you're scared and anxious around people and deep connection, if your mind is hard to settle, those and depression, anxiety.
You've just described a whole bunch of people I know. And you know what I didn't know was that those 0 to drama emotions, you know, the way you described it, you know, they go from a place of calm to all of a sudden now they're upset. And a lot of times for no apparent reason. I didn't realize that has to do with the childhood trauma.
If you haven't processed your feelings, Ken, I mean, you understand this, if they're living inside of you without any keywords, right? They're just a big wad of emotion. And so then when something triggers you, you don't know what's shooting up from inside. It just shoots up and you haven't processed it yet. So the first thing that happens is it gets pinned on something outside the self.
Wow.
You made me feel this way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So is there a link between anxiety and trauma? I guess we just answered that there is.
Yes.
But I want to take it a step further. Is there a link between anxiety, trauma, and stressful living? Because I think most people live in stress.
I talk about that as, and I think it's such an important subject you bring up. We have this idea that we're, am I losing you?
No, you're fine. I got you. Yeah, you're good.
We have this this feeling that we're stressed from the outside, right?
Right.
That there's a lot of stress and we need to change our lives in order to be less stressed. But I think the toughest stress people experience comes from inside. It comes from within the self and the way we react to what's going on around us, or just the stress we carry around on the inside that makes everything we do and think more stressful. It's what happens from here to here.
Wow. Okay. And, you know, first of all, I want to ask people how to get the book, and then I want to talk about about emotional dyslexia. I want to talk a little bit about that. How do people get your book?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. Just go online and click. It's a reasonable amount of money. It's paperback. It will be there in a day and a half.
Okay, good. So tell me.
The website too, Ken, TianDayton.com, has not only the book up front, but a lot of exercises that I've added some bonus pages to go with the book, like guided imageries and so on.
Oh, that's awesome. And tell me the name of the book again.
The Soulful Journey of Recovery.
The Soulful Journey of Recovery. I love the title of that because it speaks to my soul.
It does. It's a soulful journey, right? It's a soulful journey. And it awakens you inside. So I maybe could have thought of a more snappy title, but I think I wanted to describe it as I experience it, which is that this is an expansion of your soul.
Well, and we're all on a soulful journey, and that soulful journey takes us to within our own self, right?
Yeah.
To be able to do the work. All right. Emotional dyslexia. What is that? Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, if you can't read your own internal world, right? If you can't sit with yourself and tune in and understand what's going on, on the inside, you're not going to be able to read accurately what's going on with other people. You overread it, you underread it, you assign people motives they don't necessarily have through your own mistrust or own misreading. You assume things that aren't necessarily there, and you don't check things out. So all of this creates kind of an emotional dyslexia. You can't accurately read what's going on with other people. And this can start very early, Ken, with parents who aren't attuned. It takes attunement to read.
Right. That makes so much sense. Wow. Yeah. You know, in the book, you talk about dark narcissism. What's that about?
Well, you know, that 12-step saying, it's a wonderful 12-step saying, you know, this piece of whatever at the center of the universe. It's this kind of preoccupation with our own problems that we have this notion that that's being open-minded kind of, and we're really considering the depth of everything, but we can't get off of it. We just develop negative problem-oriented grooves, and then anybody in our orbit can't really connect with us other than to become negative with us. It becomes very self-absorbed.
Wow. I get it. I love it. I love the title of the book. I have to get a copy of that book because I want to read that book. So, well, I'll be checking that out on Amazon myself. And thank you so much for being here. This was very enlightening. It really gave me some new ways to look at life. I hope it gave our audience that same thing. Any final thoughts?
Well, just, I think just try it. Don't judge anything before. It's just a book. It's just a book. Take it, put your toe in the water, try reading, try learning, try doing some of the exercises in this book, and consider recovery. It's, you know, help is around the corner. 12-step is everywhere. It's help is everywhere, and life is everywhere. Take the chance. Try it.
Take the chance. All right. Well, we're going to leave you with that. So my audience, I thank you so much for letting your friends, your family hear this show, know about this show. You know, sometimes the discussions we have on our show are deep subjects that maybe you wouldn't feel comfortable addressing a loved one with. But listen, just give them the show. Say, hey, why don't you check this out? So remember, it's voicesofcourage.us. You can get all of our replays. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, have a blessed life, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.